I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us here on the program. Former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, former University of Utah great, but now current Utah Jazz fan. That's the only title that that Scott will take on during this time of the year. So
I was a Jazz fan before I was a football player.
Oh, look at
you.
I mean,
it was like back when I was a little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Shaver.
He's been disappointed ever since.
Pretty much. No, I've loved the Jazz.
We're really excited because right now we've got a guest on the program. Her name is Miriam Swanson. Joining us for the first time on the program of the Orange County Register, covers the Clippers. And we've got all sorts of things that we've got to ask. Welcome to the program, Miriam.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys having me.
Right off the bat, you have the Clippers in seven. Where in the heck are you getting this from? I mean, so many people from Utah.
What do you know that we don't know? Come on.
Everybody in Utah.
I don't know anything you don't know.
Everybody in Utah wants to know. Like, I mean, the reality is, this is the best Utah Jazz team they've seen in a while. And the Clippers, in everybody else's mind, is kind of that end of the regular season was a little bit sketchy, and they turned it around, obviously, against the Mavericks. Maybe they're waking up a little bit. What are you seeing from this Clippers team?
Well, I mean, the Clippers' entire MO is to be a little bit sketchy, I feel like.
that's
kind of how they roll.
That's normal.
They were their true selves in the first round. I think that Kawhi Leonard is just on another planet right now, and as a unit, they have showed some resilience that I can't remember seeing from the Clippers in terms of like really digging in. And when they do that, I think they could even beat a team as good as the Jazz.
So,
but it will be hard.
Yeah, I'm curious because the Clippers, quite frankly, scare me to death. And Kawhi Leonard and all that stuff, I get it. And you're right. Was this a team that was sandbagging during the regular season? And they're just like, look, we'll just deal with things in the playoffs. We don't care who we play, where we play, whatever. We're a really good team. We understand what it takes to win a championship. And I just wonder if they're kind of like we're saving our energy for the playoffs, or was it a real struggle for them during the regular season? Because I think a lot of people thought they were probably the second best team in the West.
They did not push themselves as hard as they could have in the regular season, for sure. I think, and to your point, I mean, Kawhi has won a couple titles. Serge Ibaka's won a couple titles. Rondo's won a couple titles once he came aboard. Ty Lue's, you know, won titles as a player and as a coach. So these guys kind of know when you, like, have to have it in the tank. And looking at, like, how hard Ty Lue has run PG and Kawhi in that first round, you know, I mean, they're, like, 40-plus minutes a game. And you kind of go like, aha, I see why you were saving it up. Not that they didn't, you know, I mean, they also dealt with injuries. So they played a bunch of, you know, their role players who ended up coming up big against the Mavericks, got a ton of run during the regular season while like Patrick Beverley was out or, you know, PG and Kawhi both had spells where they were out and so on and so forth. So, you know, it wasn't like a super smooth first year regular season. Also, it was Ty Lue's first year, so you know he's kind of figuring out who his personnel is and what works and what doesn't work. But yeah, now that they're here, it's a whole different, you know, animal.
What's the formula to beat the Jazz? I mean, obviously, they are, you know, they attempt the most threes, they make the most threes per game. The Clippers, not bad from behind the arc either, with the best percentage of 3-point shooting this season. But How do you beat the Jazz? Because they can beat you inside with a 7-footer in that pick and roll, but they mm-hmm. love to shoot from the outside. And so with a smaller lineup that the Clippers love to play with, how mm-hmm. exactly are they going to account for Rudy Gobert and that pick and roll kind of first? Because you know they're going to be going to that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was Ty Lue today was like, well, you know, we can run a small lineup against them. We ran a small lineup against, like, Boban and KP. But I'm like, you know, Boban and KP are not Rudy Gobert. So I guess you pray that they don't make their threes, first of all. But but more than that, I think it's going to be so fascinating because the Clippers' advantage, I think, is Kawhi and PG and sort of the wings. And I don't know, like, who on Utah can stop them. So if they've really got it going, then that's, you know, and if the Clippers, you know, are spreading it out like they were able to in the regular season, it's going to be quite a barrage from long distance for both sides. So the pick and roll with Gobert and, you know, Donovan Mitchell doing his thing versus like Kawhi and PG, you know, attacking and, you know, getting, they probably won't get to the rim or die trying, like Ty said in the first round with Gobert there. But those guys can, manipulate the game in plenty of other ways too. So I'm just, like, very excited to see.
I'm curious about the fan base for the Clippers in L.A. Clearly the Lakers, you know, they've got a great fan base there. Are the fans of the Clippers engaged? You know, what is the fan base like?
So growing up in L.A., I knew scant Clipper fans, you know, a few here and there. Most of them are like contrarians or people who've moved here from other regions.
They were like hipsters ahead of their time. Like,
yes,
they like
exactly.
Want to get the ironic season ticket holders of the Clippers.
100%. Well, so it's people who've moved here from other places who can't stomach the Lakers, so they're not going to root for the Lakers. And the story you hear quite a bit with Clipper fans are like, they wanted to be in it, go to NBA games, and it's much more expensive to go to Laker games than Clipper games.
Yeah.
So you want to go watch the NBA, you know, even if it's just, you know, if you want to watch the opponent, you end up going to a Clipper game and you go to enough of those, you start rooting for the Clippers, despite their whole history. And there's a ton of people, well, a ton, there's plenty of people who've been doing that for, you know, decades.
Sure.
And I really admire those people because it is hard in LA to be a Clipper fan for sure. But they're definitely out there and they're super loyal. And most of them like know basketball pretty well because you
That's
don't
good.
Root for the Clippers. And follow this unless you care about basketball. So I like those folks.
See, if I moved to L.A., I would be a Clippers fan.
No, I know.
I couldn't be a Lakers
well,
fan.
Yeah, we're part
right?
of that first
we,
category.
We understand that.
Can't stomach the Lakers. Yeah. I guess I'll cheer for the Clippers. Now, the interesting thing, too, by the way, joining us right now on the program, Miriam Swanson of the Orange County Register, happy enough to break down the Clippers, who we've been watching all year, but it's a year that you're playing Western Conference opponents a game less than you usually do. And, you know, you just don't see as many games in the regular season. You just got to kind of turn it on really quickly here. But one of the things I've been wondering about, too, I mean, Utah is being told, hey, there are standing room only tickets for these games in Utah. They're going to pack the house here at Vivint Smart Home Arena. What's the attendance like at the Staples Center right now? What are they going to allow? What are they going to maybe even move to while the playoffs are going here?
Well, so for the first two games, games 3 and 4 at Staples, I believe it will be similar to what it's been in the first round against the Mavericks, which is 7,000-ish people in the seats that aren't occupied by human beings. They put
the
cardboard
fakes.
Cutouts.
Yeah,
and,
we like it.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, but, you know.
Yeah, it's better than the celebrity. It's about like the celebrities who are cheering them on, too. So it's
yeah.
Fine.
So it's been, you know, kind of a limited crowd with, like, you know, the DJ doing his darn best to kind of get the energy up and stuff like that. And you know, a handful of Luka fans, of course, for that first round
sure.
season or series. But for the second, for game after June 15th, so if it comes back to game 6, they can open it up, have full capacity.
Wow.
You know, you still have to have proof of vaccine or a negative COVID test to come in. But once you have that, they're just no more socially distant seating, no more, you know, vaccinated sections. Like, it is going to be a regular old basketball game, and that will be super exciting.
Do you get to come cover the game? Do you get to come to Salt Lake
yes.
City? Yes. That's all that matters.
I am coming tomorrow, and I can't wait to experience it. I got to go to the last game they played at American Airlines in Dallas. It was so nice to
that's
be in an arena.
We have this amazing pizza place. that we'll have to send a pizza to
it's
Kawhi Leonard.
Little Caesars. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Michael, yeah, Michael Jordan loves.
Ask for the Michael Jordan special pizza. Yeah.
Pizza. we'll send you some.
All right. Miriam Swanson, she's going to be covering the game, of course, for the Clippers, for the Orange County Register, on the beat for the Clippers. Miriam, thanks for being on the program. We enjoyed the heck out of it. Thanks for being with us.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Have a good night.
All right, taking the break here. We'll come back. We've got more to go. MVPs are next. You don't want to miss the
Little Caesars.
You
didn't know where I was going, did
you? This amazing pizza place, yeah. We'll take the break. We've got our MVPs next. As Scott jokes about poisoning NBA players. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.